Hey, I'm Josh Smith and welcome to Rain, and I'm so glad you're here, babes. This podcast is all about opening up, having important conversations and celebrating successes, as well as overcoming obstacles to reign over our own lives. I love to chat to people and I always find things in these conversations to take away and use in my own life. So I really hope you'll find the same as well. Welcome to Rain. Young Royals fans, you are in for a treat, as if being joined on the last episode by Prince Wilhelm himself, Edwin Reading, wasn't enough for ya. In this episode, we're joined by Omar Rudberg, who plays Simon. If you are new to the Swedish Netflix show, get ready, as the tale of Prince Wilhelm falling for Simon after being sent to boarding school is so good, and trust me, you're going to be as obsessed as I am. Today, following season 2's drama, Omar joins me to talk about the plot twist, behind the scenes action, and just how problematic coffee breath is for kissing scenes. I love what Omar has to say about breaking down stereotypes surrounding masculinity, his journey with his mental health, and how filming the show's more intimate scenes made him reflect on his relationship with body image. There is so much to take away from this chat with Omar, so crowns at the ready. Let's reign like those young royals. Well, hello, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so good. How are you?
I'm good. I mean, I'm slightly shook because I watched the finale of season 2 of Young Royals just this morning.
Okay.
And okay. I was not ready for the speech. How shook were you by the speech? I wasn't ready for it. I didn't see it coming. I didn't think he was going to stand up and admit to the fact that he was in the relationship. I was like, no way. Like, I was so shocked. How shocked were you when you were filming it?
I was just standing there thinking like, wow, Edwin is really such a good actor, because it was such a feeling when he was standing there doing his speech, you know? And all that, and I was just like, wow, this is amazing. Yeah. It felt awesome when we were standing there.
Yeah. Did you want to like jump up at one point and be like, that's my prince doing it?
Yeah, I mean, yes, why not? But the thing is, like, in that scene, everything was just going, like, the idea of that scene, it was that everybody was going to be there sitting and just being completely in shock. You know what I mean? And so that was quite a, you know, fun scene to do, because it's Scandal, basically. Yeah. No, but it was amazing. It was awesome. And we actually, fun fact, that scene is ending the way it does, right? But how we filmed it, it was actually not the ending. So, like, the ending would be that he walks out of the speech, walks up of the stairs, like, behind us, and walks into the school. And I was supposed to follow him up the stairs. And then when we were up on the stairs, we would look out at everybody, and then we would just go. That was actually how we recorded it, but they cut it, like, so it ended in the speech, you know?
Yeah, they chose the drama option in the editing room, I think.
Yeah, the other one was a little more Hollywood. This ending is a little more real in some way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And there's so many amazing emotional moments in this series, like, I was in bits in multiple different points of it. For you, really? What was the most difficult scene for you to shoot this series, or the scene that meant the most to you?
That's a really hard question. What scene was the hardest? I feel like a lot of the deeper scenes were hard, because I really had to put my heart out there and really feel what was going on and really get in that feeling deep, like, and really just live in that world, for real. So I could like feel it in some way. So all of the deeper scenes, I would say. I really also like the scene when the last one when we main cast were having this scene together, like when he was pointing him with the shotgun and all of that.
Yeah, that was quite dramatic.
Yeah.
To say the least.
It was a really important moment for me playing Simon, because what's happening with Simon and Sara in that moment when he realized that Sara has been, you know, lying to Simon, not telling him what's going on, and you know, that sibling thing, the sibling connection just really just disappeared. And it was like, I really had to go in that feeling like my sister is like my enemy, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And everything is just going to hell. So yeah, that scene was really strong. Mm. What went through your mind when you were watching that scene?
The scene with the shotgun. I'm gonna say something that's really bad, and I obviously don't encourage any level of violence whatsoever, but I hate August so much, and I think he's such a slippery snake. Part of me was just a bit like, shoot him, cover it up, like, let's make this some sort of revenge, how to get away with murder subplot crossover. Let's get Viola Davis in and let's just bury the body and pretend it never happened. Because I can't cope with him anymore. So I was honestly at that point just like, just do it. Do it.
I fucking love it. I love that. Oh my God.
But aside from the drama of those moments, what is so special about this show, what I think anyway, is regardless of how you identify with your sexual orientation, it's such an amazing show for showing the messy parts of life and those difficult moments we all go through, those coming of age moments, working out who we are, what we like, what we don't like, who we want to be. And I think so many people can see parts of themselves reflected in The Young Royals. For you, when you watch it and you've been experiencing it, being part of these characters, what part of yourself do you see reflected in it?
How Simon is with his family, how he loves his family, his mother, his sister. And also when he performs at school. I used to do that as well when I went to school. I used to perform, and, you know, sometimes people laughed. Sometimes people were cringing when I was singing. And that's what happened to Simon in season one, for example. Somebody screamed while he was singing, and it was just like a really awkward moment. So I can relate to a lot of things that is happening in Young Royals, for sure. And if I would be a young teenager watching Young Royals, I would be how the fans are. Like, I would freak out. I would be the craziest fan of the show. Because when I was a young teenager, I never saw a show like this, ever.
Mm.
So I'm just blessed and super happy to be a part of this whole thing, because it's a dream, really. And it's just crazy to think that people from the other side of the world sees us in the series like such a, because it's a huge deal for them. Mm. And the series means a lot to those people, and it's just crazy to think that they see us in that sort of way. Like, for me, I'm just me, you know, but it's just crazy to think that, oh, I'm in this show and people see me as something they really relate to, and that they wish that, you know, we existed in a school for real, and that they were our friends for real. You know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy to think that people really, I don't know, it's just crazy to be a part of this.
Well, I think it's a very universal feeling, isn't it? Because I think everyone can relate to having a moment where they felt like an outsider, or they've been made to feel different. And then I think the amazing message of the show is all about embracing difference and understanding others. What do you think you've learned to embrace about yourself that you were made to feel was different?
Well, after filming the show, and especially season one, I've become a lot more confident in my own skin. Because of the cameras, because of the clothes that I was wearing every single day as Simon, not wearing literally almost any makeup, having breakouts, messy hair, early mornings. You know, that's not us or me going to an event today where I fix my hair, have makeup on, great clothes, great lighting, and now I'm the best version of myself. That's the complete opposite when you record and when you film, especially in Young Royals, because we want to show people how we actually look, how teenagers look, how you can look an early morning without any makeup on or without fixing your hair too much or flashy clothes. They don't really exist, not as Simon at least. And so that really helped me getting comfortable in my own skin. Like, I can take pictures. People can take pictures of me when I'm not really the best version of myself. And I feel completely fine. I feel cute. I feel like my skin is nice, even though I have a little breakout here and there. I've learned to accept that, you know, some days you have breakouts or you don't really feel really pretty or whatever, and some days you do. And so that's something that's really been helping me with my insecurities, basically.
It is quite an exposing show in so many ways. Like, you have to film intimate scenes, and you have to feel like you're in a very safe space in order to do that. Has that kind of given you a new level of confidence in yourself and your body image and your own sense of self that you're able to put yourself out there like that?
It's really scary. You know, we've been, I personally don't think that I have, well, there is nothing called a perfect body, but for me, like in my own body, I don't feel 100% satisfied with, you know, how I look. I don't think anybody does. And so taking off your shirt or showing your legs in front of a camera, doing a really intimate scene, and you know that everybody's going to see that, is scary. And that's something that's helped me as well, you know, being comfortable in your own skin and just accepting and feeling sexy and pretty and feeling fine showing skin, because, you know, you're beautiful the way you are. And that's really cringy to say sometimes, but it's true. And it's true. You kind of see that in yourself when you experiment or when you see your body or when you, you know, when you have to go there, get out of the safe zone and do something that scares you a bit can also help you a lot with your self-love and confidence and stuff. So I'm really happy being a part of this, not only because of the story and what everybody's feeling when they're watching the show, but also for myself, like my confidence and me as a human being. Like, I feel I have more self-love today.
That's such a great place to get to in life. And I think we all struggle on that journey at so many different points. And I think one of the things the show does so amazingly is it also references the mental health journeys they all go through as well. And they all have stumbling blocks. They all have challenges to their mental well-being, and they have to learn to find that kind of inner mental strength too. What have been some turning points for you on your own relationship with your mental well-being, and how have you learned to look after it?
Talking about it more and just accepting that sometimes you have those moments where you don't really feel as strong or as secure or, you know, safe or confident or happy. And that sometimes it's okay, you know, and that you, if you want to, you can always talk to somebody. You should talk to somebody because it helps. And also knowing that you're not alone also really helps. Like speaking about mental issues and this, those kind of things help because people finally get to realize like, oh my God, that's exactly how I feel. Like finally somebody that understands me, finally somebody that feels the way I feel. Mm. Or, you know, and that it's really important to talk about those topics because they haven't really been talked about a lot. So, yeah, it's really important.
Mm. I think it's even harder to talk about that stuff, especially if you are a guy, because I think there's so much pressure around the idea of what it is to be masculine and masculinity, right? And I feel like this show totally destroys what that stereotype should be and what that should mean as well. And it really pushes the boundaries of our expectations, what masculinity is. How much of a release has that been for you?
Yeah, like for me, it's so obvious. And it's for me in my head, it's so kind of like normalized. Like I feel like I don't ever think about, wait, Edwin is actually playing Wilhelm and he's having some mental breakdowns. That's interesting. I've never ever thought about it that way. Like for me, it's so natural to, you know, be depressed sometimes and not be happy sometimes and cry. And for me, it's just so hard to think that other people maybe don't really feel the way I feel about that, because there is a lot of people that think, shit, I'm a dude. I cannot cry in front of people. I cannot stop crying. Like, block it out. You know, and it's just crazy to me that there is people that think and feel like that, and I feel really sorry for them because it's not. I've been through that as well, though. I'm not gonna lie. Like, you know, even today, sometimes, you know, I don't feel like crying in front of people. But I don't really feel like that's about me being a guy, because I'm not that typical masculine guy. Mm. And I actually don't know why I feel like that. But it's also because I feel like it's intimate, you know, showing somebody how you feel or feeling sad or cry, you know, you really blot yourself. You're out there. And if you cry in front of somebody and somebody laughs, or if somebody says something weird, or you don't feel like they feel uncomfortable with you crying in front of them, then it gets so scary. And then next time, maybe you won't cry in front of somebody because you don't feel safe doing that.
Mm.
And so it's a complicated thing about this whole thing. And it's just so important to show that, you know, you can cry in front of somebody. You can feel sad in front of somebody. You have to let yourself, you know, be emotional with somebody and just it's a process. I also feel that sometimes being emotional in front of somebody is scary, but you kind of have to, you know, because it's really important to get those feelings out so you can be happy.
Yes, you need those moments of release, and you also need to find your people in life and find the people who are going to support you on that journey too. And that's what the message of the whole show is kind of about. And it's very obvious on and off screen that you two have built this incredible friendship. How do you think that friendship you've created with Edwin has really helped you, and how have you supported one another?
Me and Edwin, it's so hard to speak English and say our names in Swedish because you have to kind of like translate it. But me and Edwin, we are such a good friends. Such good friends. Yeah. And we really know where we have each other. And when you compare our friendship today and how it was during season one, we have developed our friendship so much and we've gotten to know each other even more. And I feel like that has made us even more comfortable, you know, working together and doing these scenes together and doing, you know, intimate scenes as well. I feel like the chemistry, we can't show it even more because we really feel like, I feel safe with Edwin. And that makes it all even easier and better to film. And it's been amazing. We laugh a lot more now though, because we are really good friends and when we don't kiss each other for a year and then go back to kissing and hugging and touching, it's fucking weird. So we laugh a lot and we cannot take each other seriously. Like, we look at each other and we're just laughing and the director gets so mad, Roshta gets really mad. But it's a process that you have to get into. But it's so much fun and it's not scary at all. It's just a bizarre situation. Like, it's just crazy. Like, what the fuck are we doing? Are we gonna kiss now? Yeah, we're gonna kiss now. Okay, fuck it. Let's kiss. And we're just laughing. Yeah. But it's been a funny, bumpy ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of have to embrace the awkwardness at times, don't you?
Like, yeah.
If you're
yeah,
not gonna
yeah,
laugh about it, it's just gonna be weird.
No, yeah. And you know, I like to work, like, if I feel like there's a elephant in the room, like there's something, then I have to say it. Like, I have to say it out loud so it doesn't get awkward. Like, for example, we both have been drinking coffee. And then I'm like getting stressed out because, okay, now we're gonna make out and we drank coffee like 20 minutes ago. And we all know what that means.
Yeah, you got coffee breath.
Yeah, and I'm not going to stand there pretending that it's not happening, you know? So I'm just going to say, like, okay, are we going to eat some gum so we don't, like, throw up when we kiss each other, for example? Because my breath stinks and yours too because we drank coffee like 20 minutes ago. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff. I like to say that so it doesn't get awkward, you know?
Yeah, honesty is the best policy. I mean, throughout this whole chat we've had, the main consistent thread is honesty is key, right? So you gotta be honest.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's so great you found that kind of wingman in life, because you've also found so many wing people, full stop. I mean, when I put out on Twitter earlier that you guys were coming on Rain, the amount of messages I got of people being like, oh my God, I'm desperate to ask this question was literally insane. Like, I was like, oh wow. My God, people are thirsty for this. So I'm going to hit you with a couple of questions that they asked. And one of them, which I think is very apt for you, is which song do you think sums up their relationship most? Dun, dun, dun.
I feel like Simon kind of like, in the second season, maybe in the beginning of the second season, Thank You Next by Ariana Grande, by Simon. But then it doesn't really, really, he changes his mind after a while.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, Thank You Next.
Well, get Ariana Grande on, because that is a tune. And before you go off to go get Ariana Grande on your Spotify, we always end on this final question.
Okay.
And that is, in the reign of your life, what is the one rule you'll always live by? What is the rule you'll always live by?
What is yours?
Mine is, regret will always haunt you more than failure. It's a big one.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one. Oh my gosh. Brush your teeth every morning.
I love that. And definitely brush your teeth before you do kissing scenes, clearly, as we've learned, especially if you've got coffee breath.
Clearly. Please, please, yes.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been so great talking to you. I love the show.
It's been amazing.
Can't wait for more.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy.
Thank you so much for joining me for another amazing episode of Rain. I really hope you found something to take away from this episode. And if you have, let me know. You can always get me on socials at Josh Smith Hosts. I love to hear from you. And as always, if you've enjoyed this episode, please like, rate, subscribe, or follow wherever you get your podcast from. And more importantly, please share this with someone you think needs to hear it. Let's get those convos going, and I'll see you next time. Hi babes, me again. Just wanted to tell you about something very exciting. I can't believe I'm about to tell you this, but I've written a book and it's called Great Chat. As you know, I love to chat, plot spoiler, and I love talking to people about their lives because, as I always say, talking and listening is so powerful. The book is all about how you can master conversation and transform your life, just like it has for me. I've used my experience from all the amazing interviews I've been lucky enough to do, as well as a load of research to help you deal with everything from making new friends to embracing difficult discussions. Great chat should never be underestimated. It can truly improve your well-being, allow you to create the life you want, and bring the connections you are so deserving of, babes. You can pre-order Great Chat today in hardback, ebook, and audiobook, read by me, no less, and it's out on the 20th of June.